broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And welcome to our News and Information Hour. We have Robert Leonard with us. Robert, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good.
And Bud?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Hendry.
Oh, aren't you guys polite? Oh, that's right. I kicked your asses out of here last night.
Yeah, we just want to prove we can be... You don't kick us out.
Yeah, it was very embarrassing, Mr. Hendry. We don't... You know,
get closer to the mic, will you? I hear you guys a mile away from the mic.
That was very embarrassing that you kick us out.
Yeah, we didn't think we deserved it.
Oh, you deserved it, all right. Don't worry about it. You deserved it. You're bawling. You're crying. You're pissed off. Yeah, you guys deserved it. So, I will be the final say on all of those things.
Well, I mean, we just might not take it.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
You know.
No, I don't know. What is that supposed to mean?
You mean just step over the line with us?
Oh, well, how about that, huh? Step over the line? Go ahead, both of you, right now. Go ahead.
Oh, we're just saying, don't push us.
Come on, I'll take you one at a time, then. Step over the line, huh? Here, how do you like that?
Don't shove me.
Don't you guys tell me what's going to happen.
You don't like the way something bad might happen.
Something bad might happen? Well, anytime you guys feel like bringing it, you go right ahead.
Yeah, well,
I said maybe.
Uh-huh. Who's putting you guys up there? Are you kidding or something? There must be something going on. Is Rance doing this? He's putting you up to this, huh? What are you looking at him? You know, you guys are doing something here.
I didn't do nothing.
You looked at him, and he was smiling. Something's going on. I'll find out what it is, too. In the meantime, our news and information... I just saw you wink at him.
No, I didn't do nothing.
Our News and Information Hour, and this is a story that I find gladdening to the heart. British soldier cited for holding off up to 30 Taliban by himself, fired over 400 rounds, detonated 17 grenades, and one mine. Let's please hope that this isn't one of those hoax stories, you know. Britain's newest hero is from Nepal. That's right, Queen Elizabeth II this week awarded Britain's second highest award for bravery, the Conspicuous Gallantry Cross, to Acting Sergeant Diprasad Poon of the Royal Gurkha Rifles, baby.
What's that?
Well, the Gurkhas are members of the British Army established specifically for Nepalese recruits. See, back in the day when they had all these empires, they had... What are you smiling at him? What are you guys doing?
We just want to give you a gift. And we, you know...
You wanted to give me a gift, huh?
Yeah, here.
This is that lavender tea rub. Get... You know what? I'm going to kick somebody. Get out of here. Give me a gift. They give me some rub straight out of Dean Wheeler's exotic spa, man. That's what that is.
Well, I thought you liked the smell of it.
I do like the smell of it. It doesn't mean I want to rub down with it. Would you guys go get me a Coke or something, huh? Anyway, the Royal Gurkha Rifles. Now, here's what was the de rigueur, if you will, or the way to do things back in the day, was during the empire times, these empires, the French, the British, and so forth, sometimes would employ foreign troops in their own specialized units. Sometimes they would just be members of the, you know, the colonial army. But there would not be anything all that specialized about it. And in some instances, they would have specialized units. The French Foreign Legion is an example of that.
What's that about, anyway?
The French Foreign Legion?
Yeah.
The French Foreign Legion was established by the French to defend their colonial possessions. And by colonial possessions, I mean lands beyond France that the French administered. Much of them... When the French Foreign Legion was formed, much of them in Africa, and some of them in the Middle East and elsewhere. And the French Foreign Legion, it wasn't started because it was a legion of Frenchmen that served in foreign lands. It was started as a legion of men from other countries who swore allegiance to the French flag.
Well, you can't do that if you're American.
I don't know if you can't do that if you're America. I don't think that, yeah, I think you can. I mean, I saw a thing on a French Foreign Legion. They had three or four Americans. And these cats are hardcore, these French Foreign Legion guys. You can't find anything anything like them in the American Armed Forces other than the Marine Corps. They're very, very similar to the Marines in their esprit de corps, in their...
What's that?
In their pride, their unit pride, and in their training, and in how tough these guys are. They're out in the desert, and their training is pretty brutal. But you know, you have the French Foreign Legion. These cats are from Germany. There's a lot of guys from England.
Where's the French guy?
There's a lot of French guys. Most of the French guys are officers. Everybody's got to speak French, as far as I could tell. Even the American, they had an American who was a sergeant, and he was in charge of this one class of recruits that had just come in. He spoke French, but these dudes are really tough. I mean, like I said, if you watch any of these shows on Military Channel, like the Marine Corps Paris Island thing you were watching, Robert?
Yeah, well, I thought that was Camp Pelham.
No, that was Paris Island. It's very similar to that. They're hard ass, and but fair. You know, there's no sense in beating a man up because you know, after a while he's going to be asking himself, "What the hell am I? What did I join this unit for?" But the point being, that's why they have these foreign units. And the British come up with this Royal Gurkha Rifles. These are a bunch of riflemen who are Nepalese. So this man by the name of Diprasad Pun, a sergeant in the Royal Gurkha Rifles, is stationed as a lone sentry at a checkpoint in Afghanistan's Helmand province. The date, September the 17th. Now, he fends off an attack by up to 30 Taliban fighters. Pun said in an interview with the British Foreign News, "There were many Taliban around me. I thought they were definitely going to kill me. I thought before they kill me, I'm going to kill some of them." Defending the base from the roof, this Royal Gurkha rifleman, this lone rifleman, remained under continuous attack from rocket-propelled grenades and AK-47s for more than a quarter of an hour.
Where was everybody else?
I don't know, bud. We'll find out. It's a good question, though. Where were they? Most of the militants were about 50 feet away from him, but at one point he turned around to see a huge Taliban fighter looming over him. The soldier picked up his machine gun and fired a long burst at the man until he fell off the roof. When another insurgent tried to climb up to his position, the Gurkha attempted to shoot him with his SA-80 rifle, but it did not work, either because it had jammed or because the magazine was empty. He first grabbed a sandbag, but it had not been tied up, and the contents fell to the floor. Then he seized the metal tripod of his machine gun and threw it at the approaching Taliban militant, shouting in Nepali, "Marku Talai," which is, "I will kill you, you no-good dirty..."
Really?
No, I'm adding stuff on, but "I will kill you." And knocking him down. It's kind of like when John Gibson said that.
"I will kill you."
Yeah. Two insurgents were still attacking by the time the heroic Gurkha had used up all of his ammunition, but he set off a claymore mine to repel them. Claymores are these perimeter mines that you can set off by remote control. At this point, his company commander, Major Sean Chandler, arrived at the checkpoint with an Egg McMuffin and a Coke, and said, "Do you want anything else?" And then realized, no, I'm kidding. No, he didn't.
Man, you don't make fun of that, man.
I ain't making fun of him. I'm making fun of the guy that just showed up. Anyway, at this point, his company commander, Major Sean Chandler, arrived at the checkpoint, slapped him on the back, and asked if he was okay.
You all right, man?
Yeah, jeez, man. Where was you guys?
I don't know. We're down here at the McDonald's.
McDonald's? I got 50 of these mothers here.
I don't know. Here, we got you this.
What's that?
Hash browns, and we got you a sausage McMuffin.
I don't want a sausage. I told you guys, for the 50th time!
They go down to McDonald's to get this guy breakfast. Meanwhile, he gets hit by 50 Taliban, and when they come back, they got the wrong order.
You're kidding, right?
Yes, I'm kidding! God! Anyway, Major Sean Chandler arrived at the checkpoint, slapped him on the back, took a sip of his coffee, and said, "Well, I'm going to be inside napping, man. Could you clean it all up for me?" In total, he fired off 250 general-purpose machine gun rounds, 180 SA-80 rounds, 6 phosphorus grenades, 6 normal grenades, 5 underslung grenade launcher rounds, and 1 claymore mine. The only weapon he did not use was the traditional Gurkhi knife carried by Gurkhas, because he did not have it with him at the time.
Probably something, it's against a regulation. They're going to give him a penalty.
Yeah, they probably gave him crap for that. In the meantime, they're giving him the guy's getting a medal, bud. You know that. He's getting the second highest award for valor. The married soldier, whose father and grandfather were also members of the Royal Gurkha Rifles, is originally from the village of Bhima in western Nepal, but now lives in Ashford, Kent. Pun's actions saved the lives of three fellow soldiers at the checkpoint and were the bravest seen in this battalion over two hard tours in Afghanistan, according to his medal citation. It's outstanding. He was not wounded in the firefight. His citation says that he survived unscathed and that it is simply incredible. Throughout Dip's actions, he was under almost constant intense fire. Dip's courage and gallantry were simply astonishing. In fact, we don't believe him. We think he's a lion stink. No, they didn't say that.
Let me see that one.
Hey, they didn't say it, man. Come on.
They say a lion stinking, man. That's a man of color.
I know he's a man of color. I'm kidding around. He's a brave man. Okay, Robert, take it easy. All right, Pun, age 31, joined the British military in 2000. He served in Bosnia and Kosovo. Like other Gurkhas, Pun is from Nepal. The Gurkhas were incorporated into British forces after their fighting skill impressed the opposition British during the Nepal Wars of 1814 and 1816. As part of the peace treaty ending that conflict, Gurkhas were admitted into East India Company's army and then into the British military. Gurkhas recruited solely in Nepal remain Nepalese citizens during their service. Gurkha unit officers are British. Huh?
That guy's been, what award are you going to get?
He is getting, and he's getting it from Queen Elizabeth, he's going to be getting the Conspicuous Gallantry Cross. It is the second highest award for valor in the British Armed Services. There you go. Man, that's heavy. You know, and I don't mean to be a jackass, but I sure hope that this is true, you know?
What do you say that for?
Because how many times, man, do we find out this stuff is horse dung, the guy made it up, the this, that.
Yeah, but they gotta check all that stuff out, from what I hear.
They do. They have to do a big investigation. So let's hope that they do a thorough one. All right, we'll be back here at a world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and of course, philhendryshow.com. Art Bell is going to be joining us next, and General Johnson Jameson. What have they got to say and to do, and to what end? We'll find out at the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. And now, coast to coast with Art Bell. Yes, for all of you pains in the ass that have been requesting an Art Bell bit, he's back. West of the Rockies is west of the Rockies. East of the Rockies, that's east of the Rockies. South of the Rockies is south of the Rockies. North of the Rockies is north of the Rockies. And never the twain shall meet. And now, here's Art Bell.
And thank you very much, Ross Mitchell, and good evening, all the ships at sea, from all the continental points in this world and beyond, the solar system, and certainly Orion's Belt. Welcome to Coast, I'm Art Bell, and you sound pretty bad, Ross. Art Bell has throat cancer, Ross Mitchell has throat cancer, that's my guess, because he's been out of practice. Coming up in our program this evening, we are going to be talking with General Johnson Jameson, and because General Jameson has been working on superpowers, can you research yourself and come up with your own superpowers? We'll find out from General Johnson Jameson in just a moment, but first this from Peenemann Enterprises. No rapture, no problem. You've sold all the things that you own in this world because you thought the rapture was on its way, and guess what? No, it wasn't. Well, there is a new garage sale idea called We'll Take It Out of Your Ass. That's right. You may not have anything worth selling, but you do have you. And we can sell you off to anyone we want to. That's correct. Selling you off to anyone that we want to, splitting the profit with you, we can get you right back up to zero in no time at all. We'll Take It Out of Your Ass farms you out to such places as the Middle East, the Balkan States, China, and the deepest, darkest parts of Russia. Working a slave labor or an indentured servant, We'll Take It Out of Your Ass eventually can amass enough money that you're back to square one in no time. And by no time, we mean 30 years. We'll Take It Out of Your Ass. In fact, someone just took it right out of my Mike Oldfield song. New, from Peenemann Enterprises. And welcome back here. As you know, we are attempting to do an Art Bell bit here, but we are with a brand new company. And as such, the production that is available to us is much substandard. And so we have to go with these half-baked beds and sort of bad-sounding dancing queen. Uh-oh, they must have dumped me. I'm criticizing someone, aren't I? We are now going to get on the line here, General Johnson Jameson, and General Jameson at his bunker complex in Saskatchewan. General Jameson, how are you doing?
What the hell is... What was it?
I'm just trying to get through this bit with as little, you know, calamity as possible.
I heard the Mike Oldfield cut off. It's all right. You'll live through it. You do what you do, right? You do what you do. Why don't you put on a bed of music that's longer so it don't cut off, you know what I mean?
Well, I don't know what we've got. I suppose we could use... Oh, this is perfect, and it's great overnight music, too. Let's try this. I think this will work. Here.
Pomp and Circumstance?
It'll have to do, General Jameson.
All right. Well, anyway, I'm working on my superpowers, as you know. You know, the X-Men is a great film. I'm being inspired by this music.
You sound great.
The X-Men was a great film, but not great enough. No, in that film, they were experimented on by mad scientists. But what does a mad scientist do who wants to have superpowers like me, General Johnson Jameson? I experimented on myself. Using murine, visine, and some other very highly confidential chemicals, I gave myself X-ray vision. And now I can see through everything. Everything.
Why did you give yourself X-ray vision, General Jameson? Don't mind me asking.
Because I wanted to look through a girl's dress. But now I can see through a guy... Oh, God...
And you're telling me now you're looking through things you don't want to look through?
No, I don't. I don't want to look through a guy's pants. But I have to. I have no choice. No choice at all.
What? Well, how are you dealing with it?
Well, I'm just trying to look people right in the eye. You know, when I talk to a guy, I look him in the eye, but then I'm seeing through his skull into the great beyond.
Oh, God. Why?
Are you still looking through girls' dresses and things like that?
Well, of course. Of course. As long as I've got this X-ray vision, I might as well put it to good use, you know. But even still, you know, it ain't all it's cracked up to be, because now I can see right through the women and through their butt, and, oh, man, I can see on the other side of their butt.
On the other side of their butt?
Yes. I've got X-ray vision.
Oh, I understand. So you're seeing...
Yeah, I'm seeing right through... I can see the opposite side of their ass. So what I'm saying to you, Art, and I say this with the greatest of respect... Love, joy, confidence, and all the other things that make up our relationship. Why are you playing this music?
I told you, Tubular Bells ran out.
Oh. I got me some X-ray vision. Now, Igor is going to help as we step out into the sunlight of this day. Igor and I, and he will have to conduct me, of course, Art, as you know, because there's just too much that I have to deal with here. All right, we're out here in the... Out here in the great beyond, and I'm just walking down a street, just any old street. Boy, I tell you, it's quite a nice day to be walking down a street. And look at this, a bowling alley. It's a woman, and I think she's going to get a strike, but that doesn't matter to me because she just ran.
What are you looking at?
I'm looking at her follow through. Yeah, Igor, lead me over here to this. Delicatessen, will you?
All right, man.
Hi, how you doing? Let me have I'll have a cruller, and I'll take a malted milk. And let me have a... Oh, God, what is that? Oh, I thought that was a side of beef. That's a kid. All right.
What are you doing?
I can't tell a kid from a... What are you doing to me?
Who did they get, man? Oh, ham.
I did want a baked ham. That's a kid! A kid! Good God, Art. I almost purchased someone's kid. It's a honey baked ham. Good Lord.
I mean, good Lord.
This is General Johnson Jameson. I'm going to have to get out of here. I've got to take it. I got to take this the hell out of here, man. I got to take it the hell out of here.
And I didn't know.
The hell you didn't know. I'm General Johnson Jameson. Thank God it isn't Easter, because I would have gone ahead and bought that kid.
You thought it was a honey-baked ham because of your...
Because of my X-ray vision? Yes! Do you understand? finally. All right, Igor? Thank you. That lets everyone know that I'm coming into the laboratory to have my eyeballs readjusted. I can't take it. By the way, I got myself a honey-baked ham here if anybody... it's the kid again, man.
I understand. General Jameson, we have to take a break. I'm sure you understand. I hope that you are well and good and high and bye.
High and bye. High, bye.
Phil Hendry. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, what's going on with this guy Wiener? I guess we should update you on that. Anthony Wiener is the guy that allegedly sent this picture. So he is he's a member of the House Democratic leadership as well. Other members of the House Democratic leadership talked repeatedly to this guy to try to get him to end what several Democrats called an unwelcome political distraction. A member of the party's leadership said yesterday, Wiener told reporters he'll no longer answer any questions about the matter. Well, that's not really going to end it if he's not answering questions about the matter. It's frustrating because we'll talk to him, we'll tell him to clean it up, and then he goes out and does stuff, said a member of the House Democratic leadership who declined to speak for the record about private discussions with Wiener because he was told not to, and he went ahead and did it anyway. So nice going, pal.
Why do you do that? I mean, totally not supposed to talk.
They do it because they owe a guy a favor. They do it because the guy owes them a favor. They do it, you know, all of this, you know, you are not to comment on anything. That only goes so far. That stuff only goes so far, you know.
Well, I mean, they told the guy, don't comment, and the guy commented.
The guy that commented probably is friends with the reporter on some level, or knows the guy, or owes the guy a favor, or some bullcrap, man. I don't know. Didn't you guys see All the President's Men?
Uh-uh.
Oh, you got to see All the President's Men, or read the book. That's about Woodward and Bernstein. And everything that they went through to uncover all of the falderall around the Watergate situation. Let me get the bloody audio up here, man, tonight's audio, so I can figure out what's going on. Here is Anthony Wiener, and even though it says we have four Wiener cuts, pardon my language, there's only three that were in the... there were only three that we had. So anyway, here is Wiener. He claims he's answering any and all questions reporters are posing to him, but there's here's a typical exchange with a reporter, in this case from CBS, where he doesn't answer the question that's posed to him.
Congressman, I think the main question that everyone has is, was that a picture of you?
Well, the main question that a lot of people are asking is, did I send the photograph? I did not. This was a prank, a hoax.
So it sounds like it was a photo of you.
Well, we're going to try to find out exactly what happened.
All right. Many wonder why Wiener isn't involving the FBI if his account was indeed hacked. CBS analyst Jack Ford has a theory. Wiener's lying about what really happened.
It's not against the law to lie to the media, not against the law to lie to your constituents. It is against the law to lie to law enforcement authorities. So if I'm a lawyer looking at a case such as this, I'm going to be real careful before I let my client talk to law enforcement authorities.
House Majority, what is he talking to law enforcement about? Oh, the fact that his computer was hacked. Okay. House Majority Leader Eric Cantor spoke to Fox and Friends.
I think the American people are sick of seeing their elected officials tied up into scandals like this. I really think it's sad. And obviously there's not a lot of clarity surrounding the reports. Advise him to come clean and clear it up. I mean, again, perhaps he's trying, but I know there's a lot of explaining going on without a lot of clarity. And again, the American people are right in saying that they don't have tolerance for this repeated kind of activity going on surrounding their elected leaders.
Right.
I just think, again,
right.
Think about his wife. I mean,
right.
I'm really saddened for his wife, and I think they've only been married a short time.
What do you think, Sean?
Come look at my sexy pics.
All right. But the fact is that it's Democrats and Republicans. That's what these jackasses don't want to tell you. They don't want to. There's Cantor, and he's a great guy, and Cantor is as clean as the driven snow, and I'm sure he's a good man. Republicans are getting wrapped up in this stuff. Democrats getting wrapped up in this stuff. Why don't you guys stop with the politics? Because Cantor is the first guy to say, if it's a Republican, well, let's move on, okay? It's a distraction, you know what? They love these distractions, the other side. The Democrats love these distractions. And if it's a Democrat, well, generally the same kind of thing. Oh, we're giving the Republicans all they want. The Republicans don't have anything else to talk about. Now we're giving them something to talk about. Because it in this country, whether we say we want a bipartisanship or not, we're never going to have it. We like bipartisanship. Let's face it. We like it because it keeps the extremists from taking over.
What do you mean?
What do I mean? I mean this. We like, when I say we like bipartisanship, I mean we like partisanship. We like to have the fight. Because when there is a fight, that means there is a kind of a gridlock. And when there is a gridlock, there's generally the choosing of the middle ground. And when you choose the middle ground, you don't have to rely on, you don't have to worry about extremism taking over. The extremists on the left, the extremists on the right. You're going to have a sort of slow, plodding journey right smack dab down the middle. You know, it reminds me of that when we watched John Adams. You remember what John Adams said in that one scene? He says, "The middle ground, gentlemen. I don't want to be on the middle way."
Yeah, I remember that, I think.
Well, I don't either, but it sounds good. It sounds like something he would have said. Anyway,
come look at my sexy pics.
That's what John Adams said. So it's frustrating. He says, "We'll talk to the guy and he won't come clean." All right, he doesn't come clean. He's lying, he's lying, he's lying, he's lying. One of the things that I think we're learning is that when you become a famous person, whether you're a famous elected official, whether you're a famous, I don't know, whether you're a famous actor, whether you're anything, it happens so fast. I think it happens so rapidly that you don't have all the T's crossed and the I's dotted. You don't have everything covered, you know? And you get a little flush with the fame and you do a dumb thing. You know, the example being that this guy is sending Twitter pics to people. And he, oh, wait a second, I'm a very famous guy. I'm a representative. I'm on the news every night. What have I done? I think they're that stupid. We've seen it before. And like I was saying the other night, we got people that are supposedly really smart. They blog, they write for a living, they do marvelous things, they're well-respected, they are, you know, they're teaching at the University of, at Yale, they're teaching at Columbia, but get them around Twitter, and suddenly they're the dumbest thing that ever, you know, got out of the cradle. They're just dumb.
No, what about that one guy?
Well, the guy you're talking about, that teacher?
Yeah.
That guy is a classic example. He started out, I forget who it was that he was ripping, but it was a female. And he started out, might have been, oh, I know who it was. It was the woman who was caught up in that horrific scene in Egypt.
Yeah, that's right. They're talking about, she got raped or she got touched or something, and he was making fun of it.
He was making fun of it. He was blowing it. He was blowing it more ways than you could possibly. It made me think that this guy, in truth, could care less about women. That's just his public posture. You know, oh, wow, I really care about the rights of women. But in point of fact, if it's the wrong kind of woman, he doesn't care. And so he started talking about this woman from CBS News in a very disparaging way. The stuff gets out on Twitter, and suddenly you're caught, man, and you can't take that back. And it was really embarrassing how that ass tried to take it back, too. He said, okay, all right, I'm sorry, but I mean, he did about 5, 6, 7, 8 times until finally, you know, they put the match to him. He went up, man, like dried hay. All right. So And so that's what happens when you're tweeting. Near Rosen was that guy's name. Where is he now? Do you know where he is? Has anybody found head nor hair of Near Rosen? Is he laying low? Will he, if you'll pardon the term, lay?
Yeah, he's getting laid low.
He got laid low. All right. So, yeah, Near Rosen was the guy's name. And that cat is now, you know, out of sight, out of mind. Now, who knows? Maybe this time next year he'll pop back up all refreshed, reinvigorated, you know, reconstituted, plump and fully packed. I don't know. Other news story, Dr. Jack Kevorkian dead at 83. We'll be back. No.
What if you had a suicide doctor to help him do it?
Well, let's see. Assisted suicide advocate Dr. Jack Kevorkian passed away early Friday morning at William Beaumont Hospital in Royal Oak. Longtime associate and friend Jerry Feiger said Kevorkian died of a pulmonary embolism. He was 83 years of age. Last night I got a call about 10:30 from one of the doctors telling me that he had taken a turn for the worse. According to Kevorkian's attorney, Kevorkian had been hospitalized for nearly 2 weeks with kidney and respiratory problems. He had a cancerous lesion, but that they felt was operable. Everything seemed to be, shall we say, solvable, except he got the thrombosis, a clot that came into the lungs, and that's where that, that's bad, man. Kevorkian passed away with his niece by his side. Born in 1928 in Detroit, Kevorkian graduated from the University of Michigan's medical school. He became a pathologist. He first became interested in euthanasia during his internship years when he watched a middle-aged woman die of cancer. She was so emaciated, her sagging, discolored skin covered her bones like a cheap, wrinkled frock, according to Kevorkian. After building a suicide device in 1989 from parts he found in flea markets, he sought his first assisted suicide candidate by placing advertisements in local newspapers. Newspaper and TV interviews brought more attention. On June 4th of 1990, he drove his van to a secluded park of Detroit. After Janet Adkins of Portland, Oregon, met him there, he inserted a needle into her arm, and when she was ready, she flipped the switch that released a lethal flow of drugs. He later switched from his device to canisters of carbon monoxide, again insisting patients took the final step by removing a clamp that released the flow of deadly gas to the face mask. Kevorkian earned the nickname Dr. Death in the 1990s when he admittedly assisted in the suicides of more than 130 terminally ill patients. He told CBS News that he never regretted his actions. In 1998, the Michigan legislature and then Governor John Engler passed a law banning assisted suicide in an effort to stop Kevorkian. In response, he released his two-page manifesto calling lawmakers unethical and corrupt. He was convicted in 1999. He spent more than 8 years behind bars for the death of Lou Gehrig's disease patient, Thomas Yauch of Waterford, who said he wanted to die but lacked the ability to do it himself, a suicide that was seen around the world on 60 Minutes. Kevorkian's life story became the subject of the 2010 HBO film You Don't Know Jack, which earned Al Pacino an Emmy and a Golden Globe for his portrayal of Kevorkian.
What did you think of that guy?
What did I think of Kevorkian?
Yeah.
I thought what he did was ethical. I thought what he believed in was ethical. I thought maybe he went about it publicizing it the wrong way. I thought that, that probably the way he went about getting, shall we say, exposure for his work or publicity for his work, or maybe it was just, you know, he was feeling his way, and in the electronic and beyond age of mass media, everything was moving so fast people didn't understand. But I don't think that Jack Kevorkian was a murderer by any stretch of the imagination. No way. Never, ever was there anything to indicate this guy murdered people or took people's lives away from them against their will. Didn't happen. And that's all there is to that. And I know that a lot of people like to make a big freaking moral issue out of this bull crap. It pisses me off, you know.
Well, I mean, man, you know, if someone's going to die, you know, life is precious, man.
Life may be precious. I understand that life is precious. But an individual that wants to take his own or her own life because they're in such agony or in such pain, in my opinion, they ought to be allowed to do that. And if they are unsure of how to do that, or they don't want to do it in a painful way or in an overly destructive way, or they don't want to traumatize their relatives, or they don't want to hurt their friends, and they seek the assistance of a doctor like Jack Kevorkian, I understand that, you know.
Well, if you want to kill suicide, why don't you jump off a bridge?
Because they don't want to. Did you hear what I just said, man?
Well,
They don't want to jump off a bridge. That's going to, what do you think that's going to do to a family member? They want to do it in such a way that their body is, you know, oh, yeah, I think I'll jump off a bridge. You'll never be able to find my body. It gets sucked out into the Pacific Ocean. I'm assuming Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah. That'd be my choice.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Well, you thought it's okay.
I said a person, yes, I suppose. I think if you're going to take your own life, you shouldn't do it in such a way that your family is hurt, that your body is desecrated or otherwise is, you know, your body is somehow bruised or battered so that it's you know, it hurts your family. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, what are you talking about? Like, if you jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, they ain't never going to find it.
Okay, fine. So you jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, and your family doesn't have a body to bury. That, I bet you that makes them feel real good.
What about a jacket?
What do you mean, what about a jacket?
They could bury a suit of pants or something.
I'm going to belt you, man.
What? What?
Yeah, that's right. Let's put a jacket and a pair of pants in there.
Better than nothing.
Anyway, so, yeah, that's a bummer, man. That's a total bummer. And if a guy says, well, look, my life sucks so bad, I want to take my own life, I think I'm going to do that. But I don't want to do it in such a way that it's going to traumatize my family or it's going to be painful. You know, it's some kind of weird way. I'm scared. You know, I'd like to do it a way that's going to be cool, you know. And so along comes Dr. Kevorkian, man. What are you guys laughing at, man? All hour long, you're looking at him, he's looking at you. What are you guys doing?
Nothing. I swear to God, nothing.
All right, we'll tell you.
What?
Look down.
My fly's open.
Oh, man, you didn't even see that.
All right.
It's hanging right out.
Big deal, man. This is radio, so they can't see it.
I know. Still funny as hell.
Man, it's wide open, isn't it?
I thought your pants are going to come down, man.
Let me do it back up.
No, no.
Oh, well, okay, bud. Getting a thrill?
Yeah, right.
That about feel like, what is that, a cocktail, Frank?
Get out of here. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming up next, a gay softball league penalizes a team full of bisexuals suspected to be heterosexuals. How dare they? Also, check us out on the web at philhendryshow.com for our merchandise, archives, HD TV, and our podcast, philhendryshow.com.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Put that thing in your mouth.
All right. Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We've been talking about death. We've been talking about sex. We've been talking about Anthony Weiner.
She's going to hell, this bitch.
And we're going to talk about a few more things here, man. I don't want any bummers leading into the summer. Leading into this week. I don't want any bummers leading into the summer. We've got a chance here, man, to have a great summer, and that's the way it's going to be. And I don't want anybody bumming. I don't care what's going on in the world.
Aren't you serious about the future of this country?
Of course I'm serious about the future of this country. I've been serious about the future of this country since the day I got spit out of me dear mom. But I've decided that this is going to be a summer, and next summer will be a very special summer. Because these are the two last summers I got left, man, before I turned 6-0, if you're ready for that. And I never thought it was possible that Phil Hendry would ever be 60. So I don't care what's going on in the world, and if that makes me a selfish bastard, just consider the following. I never stole a freight train, in the words of the great Neil Rogers. You know, I've never cheated on my taxes, much. I've never been in jail for anything all that serious. I've never cheated on anybody that was, worth it. I'm kidding. I've never cheated on anybody. So, you know, that's the summer. And what I'm doing right now is buying time for this stupid, asinine softball story that I don't have. Here we go. This is a story having to do with a gay softball league, I guess. A trio of sexual switch hitters can proceed with a lawsuit filed after the team was stripped of a second-place finish in the Gay Softball World Series. U.S. District Judge John something or other.
What's his name, anyway?
I don't know, Coffinure, cough here, turn your head and cough. What is that name, Coffinure? Cleared the way for an August 1st trial in a suit brought by the three bisexual ballplayers against the North American Gay Amateur Athletic Alliance, NAGA, N-A-G-A-A-A.
Well, you're not supposed to go NAGA.
Well, I felt like going NAGA.
That's what it is, N-A-G-A-A-A, NAGA, yeah, NAGA, yeah.
No, man, it's N-A-G-A-A-A. All right, the N-A-G triple A.
Yeah.
Plaintiff's allegations about the defendant's treatment of bisexuality remains a central importance to this case. The Seattle judge ruled defendant could still be liable for its actions. The alliance disqualified the San Francisco-based team, D2, I guess that's the name of the team, runner-up in the 2008 competition, after other teams at the tournament raised questions about the player's sexuality. D2 was suspected of filling its lineup with heterosexual ringers for years before the 2008 disqualification. Under the National Alliance of, the NAGAAA.
NAGA.
NAGA.
What is that, Chinese?
No, it's not Chinese.
It sounds Chinese.
Why would you think it's Chinese? It's NAGAA. It stands for the North American Gay Amateur Athletic Alliance.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, players Stephen Alpato, Lauren Charles, and John Russ claimed their team was penalized because they were deemed not gay enough. What do you think of that?
I thought we were.
Anyway, members of the Floaters, no, I don't know. But anyway, this will go to trial, and that's where that's at. And
put that thing in your mouth.
We'll be right back, after about a 24-hour to 48-hour period. We'll be right back on Monday night. And don't forget, tonight, it's the KFI show. Right here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Until then, head on over to the website, philhendryshow.com, and check out all of the marvelous stuff that we have there for you. Until tonight, this is Phil Hendry for Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard saying...
She's going to hell, this bitch.
All right. Sorry.
Phil Hendry.